Resilient Cyber Podcast brings you conversations from diverse cybersecurity professionals, ranging from executives, subject matter experts, and aspiring entrants. Today's diverse threat landscape requires systems that can withstand a variety of cyber incidents, remaining trustworthy and secure.
Resilient Cyber is sponsored by Acquia, a cybersecurity service, disabled veteran-owned small business that is passionate about enabling innovation and driving secure digital transformation. Acquia believes in guardrails over roadblocks and security as a business and mission enabler. Learn more at acquia.us. That's A-Q-U-I-A.us. Before we start the episode, we want to give a big thank you to our Season 4 sponsor, Nucleus Security. Meet Nucleus, the only risk-based vulnerability management platform purpose-built for the world's most complex enterprises. Nucleus takes the mountain of vulnerability data that is produced by your security stack and unifies it into one clean dashboard that helps you make sense of your assets and vulnerabilities. With Nucleus, users get a normalized and deduplicated list of vulnerabilities across network devices, cloud, applications, and more. Next, we layer in risk and vulnerability intelligence from sources like Mandiant to help you prioritize the vulnerabilities that matter most. Ready to see how Nucleus can help improve your vulnerability management program? Head to nucleussec.com today.
Thank you for joining the Resilient Cyber Show. My name is Chris Hughes, along with my co-host, Dr. Nikki Robinson.
Hey, everybody.
And today we're joined by Dave Johnson. Dave, thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited to chat with you. I've been following your content for a while. I'm like, man, this guy is killing it. Not only like, you know, in your career and professional sense, but also as a content creator in the cyberspace. So I'm really excited to chat with you. For folks that haven't come across you yet, you know, can you tell us a bit about your background and what you're up to?
Yeah, definitely. So my name is Dave Johnson. I am a security engineer at Datadog, where I specifically focus on detection engineering and threat detection for multi-cloud environments, cloud workloads, identity providers, and other SaaS integrations. So my role specifically focuses on bringing security context to the already existing observability data that our customers are leveraging by researching threats and using that data from that research to build out-of-the-box detection rules, log parsers, pipelines, dashboards, and more. And then also on the side, I create cybersecurity content, both technical and career advice to kind of highlight my journey to cybersecurity and also share resources, technical and career advice to help people who are looking to break into the industry or people who are at the same level at which I am.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think that we all sort of have that in common when it comes to like content creation, like being able to sort of like help people, right? If they're getting into cybersecurity or thinking about it. So I love that you're doing that with your content, your platform. Well, I wanted to start off a little bit technical, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about content creation and get into that too. But with your experience in security engineering with cloud, can you talk about some of the like top three biggest things that we're really concerned about with cloud and even with multi-cloud environments too?
Yeah, definitely. So I think the top three concerns, from my perspective at least, are misconfigurations, credential access, and identity and access management. With misconfigurations, it's like that's typically the biggest thing you see when it comes to cloud security concerns, right? It's like misconfigurations with like storage, with compute, and these, you know, little things are you know, a majority of what have been causing various cloud attacks in the last couple of years. And also in regards to credential access, like according to a recent report that I read by, I believe, Elastic Global Threat, about 33% of attacks leverage credential access. So that's from like access keys, you know, long-lived credentials. And these credentials typically are floating around on the internet, and attackers are able to get this and gain initial access into cloud environments and then further perform various exploitation tactics. So that's a really major concern when it comes to cloud security. And then finally, it's the third one is identity and access management. And that is like a major concern because it's like pretty complicated, right? Managing different identities for different services, for different resources, for different you know, people within your organization, and even in a multi-cloud setting, like could get really, really complex. And like sometimes even the way the cloud provider does identity and access management is not the most straightforward way. So it's kind of easy to mess it up, which often leads to, you know, various attacks in regards to cloud security.
I think that's such a great point when it comes to IAM, because when you start thinking about even just one cloud environment, right, and you've got all of these policies, you've got your users, and then you start thinking about your applications and development. And then if you add multi-cloud and you've got different users and different policies, and it just adds so much complexity, which makes it really difficult to manage. So I think that's a really great point. I wanted to touch a little bit on content creation, but some of the resources, I know that you've got a lot on, you know, sort of education and resources and things around cloud security. So my question is sort of, it's sort of twofold. One, what do you think some of the best resources are for people to sort of get started understanding like all of these things that are going on in cloud, but also, do you feel like we've got too much? There's so much saturation in like the, you know, resource sort of market. So where do you think people can kind of focus?
Yeah, totally. I think right now we have an abundance of resources, maybe even compared to many years ago. And with the abundance of resources we have, I think it could also lead to analysis by paralysis, where it's like there's so many things you have access to, and it kind of makes it difficult to pick one and just like stick with it, because like you just have so many options, right? Which are sometimes free, some are really affordable. Like you don't even have to spend like, you know, a huge amount of money on these resources to actually learn these things. So I think, you know, what I typically recommend is like picking like a specific cloud provider, especially when you're getting started. And then, you know, pick resources, practical resources to start learning about security from those cloud providers. So for example, AWS, Scott Piper has like, you know, these two cloud challenges, the flaws.cloud challenges, which are a set of, you know, different challenges that kind of help you understand different cloud misconfigurations. So like that's a free challenge that you can, you know, go work on, learn about how different AWS misconfigurations work. And even the cloud providers have, you know, various documentation and even like cloud games that kind of help you understand like how security works in the context of the cloud for free, right? Of course, you might have to pay for hosting like infrastructure in your test environment, but that's typically cheap, right? So just following these practical training, especially the ones from the cloud providers, you know, is very, very helpful, because it comes from the actual people who are building these services, who are actually responding to incidents in the wild. And then you can use those things they're providing to you as resources, as educational materials to actually learn about misconfigurations or ways that attacks happen in the environment, or even how to respond to these attacks in the environment. So I think just, you know, there's an abundance of it, but I think just being able to stick to one and then, you know, go through it before going to the next one is kind of, you know, what helps me. And I think what I recommend to people who are, you know, looking to get some education with cloud security or cybersecurity in general.
Yeah, your advice actually lines up really closely with what I have experienced myself, as well as what I advise to others. Like when I started learning cloud, you know, 6 years ago or whatever it was, I went real deep on AWS, like, you know, took a bunch of certifications, learned, you know, their whole framework and maturity models and like, you know, all these kind of things about AWS and the services before I kind of broadened myself to Azure and, you know, other cloud providers. And the funny thing is I make the same recommendations to organizations looking to use cloud. Start with one, right? Because we all know that customer misconfigurations are a big problem. Start with one, get competent, get proficient, and then explore multi-cloud. You know, so it's funny that you said that, because I think it applies both individually and organizationally. So I wanted to ask you too, you know, you've talked about your role as a detection engineer, you know, so what is detection engineering for folks that don't know? And then how does that play a role in cloud security?
Yeah, definitely. So I personally do not have a definition for detection engineering, but my definition is going to be based on a recent definition given by a mentor of mine. His name is Jim Avo. He's a staff security engineer. And it was on my director, Zach Allen's Detection Engineering.net newsletter. And he defines detection engineering as aligning threat detection based on engineering principles that are aligned with the rest of your organization. And what that basically means is from the process of ideating the detection to the deployment of the detection, we're utilizing engineering principles, we're utilizing software development principles to guide us with the aim of identifying threats and surfacing signals that indicate the presence of these threats within our environments. Now, in regards to how it actually plays a role in cloud security, I think detection engineering is important for surfacing threats against cloud environments. And this process can be driven by various sources. So from your internal security teams, to your product teams, to your cloud administration teams, to your operation teams, or even external threat intelligence. But the goal is essentially to use these different data sources to prioritize and build detection coverage that are ultimately based on the level of risk that is acceptable by the business.
Yeah, I like that definition. And you mentioned a newsletter there. I'm pretty sure I follow it. And actually, it reminded me because I wanted to give a shout out. You talked about Scott Piper. Yeah. I've been following him for a long time. I've been following his content. He also has like the cloud security roadmap, I think it's called, where he dives into different aspects of cloud security and the common oversights and missteps. And then also a little shout out to his event that he's kind of organized called Forward CloudSec. They put out some great speakers every year. I think there's a CFP open at the moment, if I'm not mistaken, but that event is solid and you learn a ton from a lot of great folks in the industry.
Yeah. I made a submission for that. So hopefully I hope to be talking there later this year.
Awesome, man. Yeah. I hope to see you there and hear from you. So I know that you talked about threats and I feel like there's been kind of a resurgence of a concept known as threat modeling. You know, it's not necessarily a new concept, but I feel like, you know, with AppSec and DevSecOps and so on, we've seen kind of a resurgence of emphasizing threat modeling. So you talked about identifying threats and things like that. You know, what's your perspective on threat modeling when it comes to detection engineering and cloud security?
Yeah, so I think threat modeling plays a really huge role in detection engineering and for cloud security, like extremely valuable. It's also a topic that I actually eventually intend to do a talk on. But when I'm working on, when I'm working with a new cloud service that I'm not familiar with, but I need to build a detection for, what I do is a lot of ideation, and I try to understand, like, what exactly does this service do? What API calls does it make? What do developers use it for, and such. And with all of this in mind, I think of how a threat actor will want to use this service the same way, but for nefarious reasons. So this could be based on, you know, actual attacks that are already being propagated in the wild, or even trying to completely understand services that have not been fully explored at all. So that threat modeling process helps me understand the service as a whole and also how it's normally used, as well as how an attacker would potentially use the service, and then use that as a feedback loop for my detection creation process.
It's really like, it really reminds me of purple teaming, right? This idea that you're taking sort of this knowledge and the findings from the red team and integrating them into how you as a blue teamer, you know, detect, respond, and ultimately sort of leverage that information to build a better blue team. and I love that concept because that's sort of the whole idea, right? If you don't know what the attackers are doing, how can you protect against them? So I like that. I wanted to come back a little bit to I've seen so much recently on debates between, do you do on-prem? Do you do cloud? People that were maybe considering the cloud that are like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go on-prem. Where do you feel like, I don't know if you've seen some of the same things, but like, where do you feel like people are sort of on the cloud and thinking about cloud security? And do you feel like maybe some of those misconfigurations, common, you know, things that we see in the cloud are sort of changing people's mind for moving to the cloud?
I don't think so at all. I'm not really one to make predictions, but I don't think there's going to be a decline in cloud adoption in the future, regardless of, like, you know, security reasons. I think it'll only get more and more. I think adoption is actually going to get more and more. Businesses that really want to thrive in this current technological landscape require the level of agility and resilience that a cloud has to offer. And even with, like, things like recent, like, AI integrations with OpenAI into, like, different cloud services, I think it even, with the risk that poses, there's even a higher value proposition for the cloud. So I ultimately think, like, cloud is not going anywhere. If anything, we're actually going to see more cloud adoption over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I actually personally agree with you. I want to jump in real quick because I agree with you. I think that organizations, you know, despite, you know, some kind of fear, uncertainty, and doubt about cloud and cloud security, they've realized that, like, their core competency isn't managing underlying compute, networking, and infrastructure. They want to focus on delivering value to their customers. So I think we are going to see cloud adoption continue to grow and grow. And that's why when I speak to cybersecurity professionals, I, you know, definitely try to strongly advocate, like, hey, you need to learn cloud because it's going to be very pertinent.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think to that point too, when we're talking about how many, you know, businesses, organizations are moving to development environments, I think for, you know, having a big development environment, you don't want to also manage your platform or an on-premise data center. You want to be able to focus on agile development, you know, quick turnaround time. And it's a lot more difficult to do that with really complex on-prem systems. But I thought it was interesting that I've seen sort of a shift in media talking about, like, oh, we're going to go to on-prem now. Well, I'm curious too, from the, for anyone that, you know, Chris, to Chris's point too, people that are in cybersecurity, they're thinking about cloud or they sort of need to get started. You mentioned some resources with sort of getting, you know, actually going to the source, you know, whether it's AWS or Azure or GCP. But do you think there's some other resources, tools, maybe even some certifications or education that people should consider if they're sort of moving towards learning more about cloud security?
Yeah, totally. I think it all generally depends on where you're at, right? And I typically recommend to build on what you have. And this is kind of something I got from Forrest Brazil, who is the current lead of DevRel at Google Cloud. He's also the, I believe, the creator of the Cloud Resume Challenge, which is like pretty much what a lot of people recommend if you're just trying to learn about cloud. But he talks about, like, if you were working with databases on-prem, then pick a cloud provider and then deep dive into databases and how they work with that cloud provider, right? So you don't have to completely reinvent the wheel. Like, there are definitely a lot of differences between on-prem and cloud, but generally, like, the underlying principles typically align. So I typically recommend people to, one, pick a new cloud provider, one cloud provider, stick to that cloud provider, get good at it, get certification from that cloud provider, but also get as hands-on as possible. This could be like using resources like, you know, a Cloud Guru, for example, right? They have a huge catalog of courses for certifications, or even learning like very niche things about very specific cloud providers, or, you know, do labs like, you know, AWS has a ton of labs. I believe they call them the well-architected labs, and they guide you through these different levels from 100 all the way to 400, which is the most technically complicated ones. But you kind of understand how to build things within AWS, right, in a well-architected format, which is kind of, you know, what the cloud provider expects of you in terms of, like, this is how we think you should build things within our cloud environment. And I think the best way you can actually, like, get into cloud and understand how to use cloud services is by actually doing it. So by actually, like, using the services, by, you know, creating an AWS environment, they give you the free tier, which gives you a lot of access to so many resources for a very affordable price. Just make sure you're monitoring all these things. But essentially, just get in there, like, you know, and do these different things. Like I said, AWS has all these, you know, well-architected labs. Azure has the cloud skills challenges that kind of, you know, guide you through various aspects of a specific area of, like, Azure cloud, whether that be security or AI or data. And then you essentially just, you know, use these different services to understand what they're used for in the cloud. And then it guides you through these things in a certification path. So at the same time by which you're doing these labs and learning these different things, you're also working towards a certification, which is also like your badge of honor for actually performing these things and understanding these different things in the cloud environments. So once again, I think it starts from, one, picking one cloud provider. And because when you pick one cloud provider and you get really deep into it and you understand it, it makes it a lot easier to pick another cloud provider rather than doing multiple things at the same time. So do that and then essentially use the free resources provided by the cloud providers on training, on practical implementations of different cloud services or architecture to actually gain experience with these things. And also, at the same time, if possible, walk towards certifications to kind of show your knowledge in these different things.
Yeah, I'm sure folks that are watching the video have seen me pretty much nodding the entire time you were talking. And it's because everything you're saying essentially lines up with exactly how I've learned cloud. It's like you talked about Forrest Brazil. I had a chance to collaborate with him a couple of years back. His Cloud Resume Challenge is widely popular. It's an awesome resource to get started. You talked about resources like A Cloud Guru. I was using them back before they got bought by Pluralsight, and now they're, you know, underneath Pluralsight. And then there's other resources I use like Udemy.com. Yes. Code Cloud is another good one. KODE KLOUD. That one focuses a little bit, you know, more on the Kubernetes containerization, you know, those kind of things. But all these resources you're dropping are things that I've used along the way that have been, you know, hugely helpful for me. And then, as you talked about, like, once I built proficiency in a single provider, it made it easier to apply these concepts to another provider. Cause then you think, oh, VPCs and subnets and NACLs and, you know, all these things kind of align in another provider with just maybe different names for the services and so on. So stellar advice, man. It lines up with exactly my experience. I wanted to ask you too, like, you know, I was joking before we went live here, like, you know, about you being on camera and audio here, because, you know, many folks that come on the show, maybe they don't do a lot of interviews, but you have 20,000 people following you on YouTube. So this seems to be just another day in the, you know, life of you. So how did you get started on content creation and cybersecurity? And, like, what led you down that path? What made you want to get into that?
Yeah. So it started like when I was in like a freshman in college. I was about 18 at the time, and I wanted to kind of start documenting my journey in cybersecurity. So I was just like this fresh noob who didn't know anything about cybersecurity. I didn't know what I was getting my hands into. I still don't know what I'm getting my hands into. And I just wanted to have a place where I could document my journey as I, you know, grow into a cybersecurity professional. So it started with me just kind of like, you know, sharing what I was learning, right? I wasn't on there to like give advice, because I like I said, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just sharing like what I was learning, certifications I was doing, resources that were helping me. Then that turned into like, you know, more technical stuff. So I started with like building like my home lab, right? You know, learning about different things like Splunk, PFSense, all these, you know, different things that I was using to build my home lab. And that kind of just slowly evolved into what it is now, from like a combination of my journey to like career advice to technical content to like certification advice and everything that has helped me over my journey over the last 3 years. So it's basically like an online diary of my evolution as a cybersecurity professional, and essentially everything that's helped me over the years. And also, like, you know, as a result, a little way of me just kind of giving back to people who are, you know, coming behind me and kind of need understanding of how this industry works, because it definitely is a bit of a difficult industry to navigate if you don't have the right resources and the understanding of how things work. So that's, you know, really the like pretty much how it all worked out. And I just kind of keep the same thing. It's like everything is centered around documenting my journey, sharing career advice, and sharing technical content based on things that I actually understand.
Yeah, that's awesome perspective of why you got into it and kind of the experience and what you've gotten from it. I was laughing a little bit when you used the term home lab, because we talked about cloud. I remember back in the day, you had to like physically get hardware and set it up at home. And now it's like you just do your lab, you know, it's all online. It's all in the cloud, basically. So I wanted to ask too, you know, you talked about the journey of content creation. You know, I'll say me and Nikki have been at this about a few years at this point. And if I went back to like the first couple episodes, I'm like, holy crap, we were really like bad at this. You know, not that we're
we learned a lot.
Yeah, it's been a journey and we've learned a lot along the way too. And we've evolved, like you talked about. And I wanted to get your perspective on something. We're seeing a lot of turmoil, obviously, in the tech industry, a lot of layoffs, a lot of things happening to folks, you know, within their careers. How important do you think it is to get out there and build that personal brand, get content out there, and, you know, kind of put yourself out in the community when it comes to your career?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely important, especially in this climate that we're in. Now, I know it's not for everyone, but I think in one way or form, you should be building a personal brand. It doesn't have to be through like YouTube. It could be a blog, you know, it could be even your GitHub repository, right? But I think it's a great way to, from my perspective, show your work and also sometimes show your worth. So it's like you're showing your work in the sense that you're showing what you're able to do, how you think. Right. If I make a technical video about, you know, example, like one I did about like analyzing various like attacks using CloudTrail, kind of shows like, OK, how do I think in regards to, you know, analyzing these different things? And also like, you know, what is the depth of my knowledge in this specific thing? And in addition to that, it also kind of chronicles like your journey as you evolve as a cybersecurity professional. I'm pretty sure, like you said, like when you first started, you're like, oh, we're not really good at this, but now it's like you're way better than you were when you first started. And even though you're not the only one seeing that progress over time, people are also seeing that progress over time, and it definitely gives them a different perspective about you that they can't necessarily see on your resume, on your LinkedIn profile, or even in an interview, right? So it's like when you're able to kind of put information about yourself out there, especially in regards to like, you know, technical stuff, right? In my experience, it has made it a lot easier to sometimes, you know, relate in interviews, or even has led to various opportunities for me, because someone's like, oh, I actually like the work you're doing on here. I would definitely like to have a conversation with you about this and about that, right? So I think, like I said, more than ever, like definitely have some sort of way by which you're putting yourself out there. Doesn't necessarily have to be video. It could be a blog. It could be, you know, GitHub. It could be whatever the case is. But having a way by which people can actually see your work beyond just what you're doing, right, 9 to 5, is definitely really important for everyone, whether you're in tech or outside of tech or cybersecurity.
Yeah, I wanted to just make a quick comment on that, because I've had you know, opportunities come up based on the speaking engagements I've done that are on YouTube now. You know, you can go and find my vulnerability chaining talks and listen to me talk about it just endlessly for hours if you really want to. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's good to have that kind of content out there. People can see not only what your expertise is, but what you're interested in, what you're super technical and great at. And even if it's, you know, like adding those soft skills in, right? Like if you like, doing videos and content like podcasts and talking to people, they can see how you interact with others. And I think that that's just as powerful as showing your technical skills too.
Absolutely.
So that's going to take me to our last question. And I'm really interested in this from your, especially your detection engineering sort of background and experience, especially as like, I'm calling it purple teaming, but this feedback loop that you get from threat modeling. So, what does cyber resiliency mean to you?
So I'll answer this question from the approach of like detection engineering. So, in terms of cyber, in terms of detection engineering, I think, your cyber resiliency means like how, first and foremost, like how resilient are your detections? How resiliently do your detections withstand attacks being propagated against your environment? That means like what level of coverage do you have for your environments, right? And also like what level of detections do you have for different stages of an attack, for example, right? So if you're able to detect, if you're not able to detect initial access, are you able to detect privilege escalation? Are you able to detect post-exploitation activities, right? So at these different levels of an attack, or at different stages or layers of your environment, how strong, or you know, how much confidence you actually have in your detection, you know, systems, and beyond just like the actual detections themselves, how resilient are the systems the underlying systems that power these detections, right? So if, for example, like Splunk was to go out, what backup do you have in terms of like other mechanisms by which you can actually detect Splunk going out, or even detect an attack if it's currently happening, right? So I think in terms of detection engineering, cyber resiliency, from my perspective, is like how much are you able to withstand, respond, and recover to attacks against your environment, given whatever circumstances you might be in at that current moment.
Perfect answer. Yeah, So before I take us out though, where can people find you? What can you talk about your YouTube? Can you talk about your LinkedIn, what you're working on right now?
Yes, completely. So you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Day Cyberwalks. And on LinkedIn, you can find me at Day Johnson. But my main space for content is YouTube, where I create all these video content. So definitely find me on there at Day Cyberwalks.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, getting a chance to talk with you about detection engineering, cloud security, resources, content creation. We covered the gambit. So thank you so much for coming on today. That's going to take us out for this week, and we'll see everybody next week.
Thanks for having me.